connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board. Looking forward to the dialogue and discussion. We have a very unusual subject matter for our issue today. Lord, liberty, or LGBTQ? Which will it be? Lord and liberty, or LGBTQ? It would appear today, ladies and gentlemen, that the whole nation's gone woke. The whole society is woke. We are questioning today whether or not we're on the right side of the wokeness. Many have determined that we need to do some alternatives and changes. Even as denominations, open arms and embracing of the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, because that's the woke thing to do today. We're in the state and the era that if you're not woke, there's something wrong with you. My question is, where are the proud conservatives? Where are the Christians? Where are the pastors who are willing to stand up for truth and righteousness and liberty? Today, the LGBTQ pride woke individuals and companies are showing us that they simply have no respect or no interest in we as Christians and conservatives and patriots. We're going to talk about that, but it's simply a route to get to the question that I want us to discuss today, and that is, what about Christians and pastors and churches being involved in what is called today the political arena? If we talk about wokeness, is that political? If we talk about the LGBTQ agenda, is that political? If we talk about the sexualization of our kids in school, is that talking about political issues? If we discuss what is taking place with the teaching of the CRT in our classrooms, is that political? If we talk about abortion and the what the Word of God says against it, is that to be considered political? And that's where we are today. Almost everything that believers, conservatives, Christians, and patriots stand for, the woke society stands against it. And I believe that it is time that we recognize that we are in a hand-to-hand combat battle in America today, and it's a battle over truth. It's a battle over the Word of God. It's a battle between our Savior and Satan. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a battle between God and Satan. And we need to recognize it for what it is and stop being silent in our pulpits and our churches. As Christians and as conservatives, we need to stop being silent. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about today, Lord, liberty, or LGBTQ. Leading to the question, should Christians stand against these things? Should we stand up and speak about them? Is it right for parents to go before a school board and challenge the sodomite agenda that's being taught to our kids in school? Are we to continue to be called domestic terrorists? Is that okay? Is it okay for pastors to be silent in the pulpit? Is it all right for Christians simply to go in the closet and slide under the bed and turn the lights out and forget what's happening in society? Do Christians have the right, hear me, do Christians have the right the responsibility to stand in the arena called civil government and challenge what is taking place. Let me just simply say this, and I might repeat it during the course of the broadcast. God created three institutions. He created the home, He created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that a Christian stands for, stands against, or speaks about in those three categories, by the way, that covers everything from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. That covers all that God speaks of in the scripture, and it ought not to be called we shouldn't look at it as having a differentiation between free speech, religious liberties, and being involved in politics, as it's called today. I don't like that term. So you ask the question, what are politics? Is it talking about civil government? Yes. Is it speaking about those that are elected as leaders? Yes. Is it speaking about those that are in the White House? Yes. God created government as His servants, and as a result of that, the servants of God, i.e. civil government, supposed to be submissive to the will of God, the direction of God, in making laws, rules, and regulations. If it is not in that accord, then, ladies and gentlemen, it's against the Word of God. That's where we're going, and I pray that you'll join in the dialogue and discussion today. Looking forward to having your questions, comments, and interest in relationship to this. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue, and after that, the telephone lines will be open, inviting your telephone conversation discussion on the issue. But let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. It's called the Bible. Some of you might recall it, and I do, and I'm still less than 100 years old, in Sunday school class and vacation Bible school, even in our public school classrooms. When I was a little tyke growing up, we'd sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me, the B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time we get back to the B-I-B-L-E and stop being concerned about Biden and what Biden might say, but what the Word of God, the Bible, says. If we the Scripture is very clear, ladies and gentlemen, in John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. But society is against truth today. Society rebels, rejects, and literally disses the truth factor in our society. In fact, it was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see the dislike, the disdain, and the dissing of truth today, perhaps is more than ever before. And may I say to you, God's book, the truth book, is in the authority and the control of the church, the house of God, the believers. But may I simply do a little parenthetical footnote to that? Multitudes do not know what the Word of God says. Multitudes have not read your Bible. Multitudes do not know where to go to defend the faith once delivered to the saints, according to the Scripture. And as a result of that, we're allowing the rules and the regulations and the fiat rulership by a wannabe dictator named Joe Biden that's making the decision for what we're saying, for what we do, even in our churches today. In fact, according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% of them say that truth is simply how you might perceive it. They say, and I quote, each person determines his or her own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I commend that to you today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hurricane season. Tools for Time has the full line of the hurricane preparedness equipment, especially the Honda generators. So, ladies and gentlemen, in preparation for hurricane season, Tools for Time has the equipment that is needed for that, and they have a knowledgeable staff. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment and the generators and the preparation for hurricanes. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a gigantic benchmark. 165-foot flagpole, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the family of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, see what God does placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question today, the issue today, will it be Lord, Liberty, or LGBTQ? The choice is yours. The choice is ours. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today where many, many, many conservatives, pastors, preachers, Christians, churches are simply going along with the woke individuals and woke companies that say they do not care about the conservatives and the Christians. We find that being very, very evident today in companies. We'll talk about these in a moment. Companies like Target, companies like Kohl's, companies like Walmart, companies like the latest Cracker Barrel. Gone woke. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. How are you?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. As for me and my house, I stand with the Lord. I stand with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Joshua now, made a pretty profound statement in Joshua 24:15, didn't he?
Yes, he did. He made one of the most profound Early Testament or Old Testament statements ever.
Yes.
I would like to share something with your audience here. I watched a Christian woman interviewing, I can't remember the name of that duo for the Los Angeles Doctors, the Sisters of whatever they are. They're the ones that dress in Catholic nuns with the clown makeup on.
Yes.
Have you ever? Well, she simply asked them, the things that I noticed from her that were outstanding that I learned from her and that every Christian could learn. Look that interview up too. It's very, she did an excellent job in standing for the faith. She simply asked the gentleman one question. She said, I am a Christian. My Lord is Jesus Christ. When I watched you pole dancing on a crucifix there, I found that offensive, and he started gaslighting, and she never let the subject go. She kept continually coming back to her faith in Jesus Christ and asking what it was about Jesus Christ that offended them. This man became so flustered with the truth being exposed to him that he could not answer her in a coherent fashion after about 5 minutes.
Well, Jim, as you know, most of them cannot. In fact, you can take the entire LGBTQ, sodomite, pride, rainbow mafia community, and you'll find that when you drill down, they cannot defend where they are. It's simply a movement today to slap God in the face, spit in the face of Christians, and to say in their statements without saying in the words that God made a mistake, that there are 157 genders and not two. That's the mindset. And when you drill down on that, the whole point is that they are trying to force, and they're winning the game. Let me say that. They're trying to force the churches to embrace them, to celebrate their lifestyle, and to prove that they are can be, quote, Christian and still live a sinful sodomite lifestyle, which is antithetical to the Scripture. Go ahead with your statement.
Well, basically, what I noticed is she stood firm on her faith. She stood firm about what offended her that they were doing in regards to her faith. she let them know that she was a Christian and that she was a follower of Jesus Christ. So she stood her ground. The second thing that I've noticed there is these very same communities live in fear of other communities. And I'll give a very good example of that. The Muslim Islamic community there, outside of Dearborn, Michigan, there is a small township that is all 100% Islamic conservatives now, and they have outlawed any display on government property as far as LGBT, the flag.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to fight back against that, but they're not putting a lot of heart in it. Now, here's another thing that I've noticed, too, that I saw that I've read. And you can look this up for yourself there. Some of these companies that are showing their logos with the rainbow colors in it, if you look at those same companies as they exist on their face page or their banner in, let's say, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, they don't show that same rainbow. For some reason, the LGBT community knows that if they push back against them, that they're going to get it back double. So is Christian,
well, they know that in a Muslim country, if they expose themselves being a sodomite, they'll be thrown off a building or their heads cut off. That's the reason the companies are woke until it comes to the borders of other nations where it is forbidden completely. In fact, from its standpoint of the, and I don't endorse the Muslim position in the Muslim Quran. I've studied it too much and I know how wicked they are. But nevertheless, they take a stand against that more than any denomination, any Christian denomination, any religious denomination in America ever has. Go ahead.
I'm not defending Islam there, but I'm saying that there is something that we can gain from that culture that we need to stand up and have a backbone.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Just not like let – I mean, if somebody's going to gaslight me and they're going to stand in front of me, I'm just going to stand there and just throw it right back at them and tell them that, my God and my Lord Jesus Christ is who I follow there, and that I hope you – find your way, but your way is not my way. And I have tolerance, and tolerance means that I don't condone it, but I don't want it around me. You know, it's that borderline. And personally, to be honest with you, I find nothing in that lifestyle that is even, I don't know how you could put it, nothing attractive about it at all.
Nothing. In fact, it is antithetical to anything that's called biblical Christianity, and yet Christians today are embracing it, just about every mainline denomination. Jim, here's the bottom line. This is where I'm going with the issue today. Should Christians, should pastors, should churches take a public, verbal, visible, valiant stand against these immoral, ungodly, unholy issues that we're talking about, or should they just remain silent? Let me put a little footnote to that. Most churches today, most denominations, and most pastors, and if a pastor's listening, I'd love to hear you rebut what I'm saying. Most pastors say, well, we just need to preach Jesus. We need to stay out of politics. It's not our God. God's not called us to do anything but to be a witness and to be an evangelist and to share the gospel. Now, I'm not ridiculing that at all, but I'm simply using that as a statement that comes from most pastors. So my question, Jim, is should pastors, Christians, and churches stand up verbally, visibly, valiantly, either in the public arena or from the pulpits or in the churches or on the sidewalks, wherever it may be, should we stand up and speak the truth based on the authority of Scripture?
Yes, we absolutely should speak on the authority of the Bible as it's written by the men that God selected to write it there. There's no doubts that if they're following biblical values, that they must stand that way. So I'm in 100% agreement on that statement.
Amen. Well, Jim, thank you so much for your input and for your insight. And I pray that our listeners have been encouraged, challenged, and edified by that. Thank you so much and have a blessed day today.
Sir.
Thank you, and I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
How are you doing, Dr. Youngblood?
I'm doing well. Your phone is echoing pretty bad.
Can you hear me now?
I can, but it's still a deep echo.
But Jim, he said everything I wanted to say.
We can hear you, but we can't understand you, Kenny. I'm sorry, but there's something wrong with your phone or your connection. You there? Let's go to the next caller. Kenneth, if you would try to call back and see if it would clear up that communication. I believe we have Lily on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and God bless you for continuing to faithfully speak out. As I think, that is important today, to be representing God and His Word at a time like this, when we have abandoned the faith, we have turned our backs upon the Word of God gradually over the years until we are where we are now, probably emerged in what is total craziness, stupidity. We thought
you're
we
right.
Were civilized. To be turned away from civilization.
By the way, Lily, if I could jump in for a moment, you just used the term stupidity. President Trump the other day in an interview with one of the Fox News anchors, he said that America's in trouble, and it's being as a result of America being controlled and run by stupid people. And so you use the right term.
He was prophetically speaking.
Yes,
it came out of his mouth. Well, thank God, he will always keep our representative. I believe that the church should be speaking out. In the early days of the church, The apostles would not be silenced. They refused to be silenced. And we know that whatever consequence, they may face the consequences of speaking out. And I believe that we should keep in mind, believers should be keeping in mind the teachings of Jesus Christ in so many ways, like the 10 virgins, that they all look alike, the 10 virgins, yet 5 were not ready. I think believers, in standing on the word of God and obeying God, we cannot afford to be silent at this time. We need to be representing Him well, in spite of where things are. And I especially I'm thinking of even here in Florida, Jacksonville. We had an election for mayor, and is like, Jacksonville is in trouble. We need to be praying especially for Jacksonville, because we see what happened to the great cities in the United States, and we're going into the stupidity like San Francisco and New York, wherever. And Jacksonville, we need to be careful, because this is where we are living. And if our people are not going to be standing up for God and righteousness, our leaders, the city council, I believe we abandoned the mayor election the other day, and we need to be careful and be paying attention. The school board, we see what's going on, and they're playing around. Evil is around us on every side, and God help the church and believers to be faithful and to stand up, to be representing righteousness and truth.
Absolutely. And Lily, if I can jump in with a little footnote to what you're saying. What you're saying is that even on local issues, mayoral candidacy, what is happening now after the mayoral race, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the Christians ought to be aware of it and become involved in it. It goes back to the 16th, 17th century, when pastors would preach a message on Sunday, and they would challenge the politicians. They would challenge the mayors and the governors and the city leaders with what they were doing that were unbiblical, unholy, and ungodly. And they didn't have the printing press. They didn't have the emails, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But it would be properly duplicated, replicated, and posted on the city bulletin board for the city square for everybody to see what the preacher said in relationship to the challenge of the political leader in that city or the leaders in that city. And that was the honorable thing to do. And yet we're not doing that in society today. Pastors, preachers, spiritual leaders, even Christians are saying that we ought to be silent, that God's going to handle all of that. Yes, he is. God's still sovereign. And the end result is God's going to bring about judgment, but God is still sovereign. But man has a free volitional will. We are volitional beings. And so as a result of that, we need to be honoring God first and honoring God foremost in all that we do and say. And that means taking a stand for truth and for morality in our nation.
That's right.
Give us your last comments and thoughts.
Well, yes, representing him well. And we have one outstanding example before us. John the Baptist had a local issue, and he wasn't silent about it. He spoke out. He lost his head. And that's where the cowardice come in. We're afraid to face the consequence, but then we're going to be failing the Lord if we back down to speak out on issues that is important to God, like the Sodomite lifestyle. God leave that as a monument of how his attitude toward that. And when we compromise in that way, we're failing him. So God help us. John the Baptist spoke out, face the consequence, to God be the glory. Thank you very
much,
Dr. Young.
Thank you so much for that comment, Lily. I believe we have Kenneth back on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello.
We can hear you now. Go ahead.
Okay, Dr. Youngblood. I think that was Jim on the line.
Yes.
The first caller.
That's right.
Hello.
You're right. It was Jim. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, he was on point. But I don't know if you heard about this, but Hunter Biden just got a slap on the wrist.
Well, we got a dual system of justice. Hunter Biden has been, supposedly investigated for 5 or 6 years. They kept most everything silent, sequestered. And so he's had a slap on the wrist, a brief fine, and no jail time. And yet he was an income tax evader, and he has been responsible for many, many, many things. But they basically had an open and shut case because he's the grifter's Biden, the grifter's son, and so nothing is going to be done. And yet they're persecuting President Trump. They're prosecuting and persecuting Christians that stand before school boards, but Hunter Biden can skate right on by. Kenneth, I'm sorry, but our time is about out and you're ready for our top of the news hour break. We got another caller. I'll let you run, but thank you so much for your input. Thank you so much. God bless you. Go ahead.
The LBDK2XYZML, whatever you want to call it, Sam. That's sad.
Yes, it is. And we need to take a stand against it. We need to be verbal and visible in relationship to our stand against it, whether it's before the school board or before the city council or any other organizations. We need to say, no, 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 not on my watch. Kenneth, thank you so much for your input. I believe we have Dr. Davis on the phone with us. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you so much for taking my call, Dr. Youngblood. I'll be as quickly as I can, realizing that you're going to the news break. But I agree, and that's what I was going to say, what Sister Lily said about John the Baptist. I mean, time is of the essence right now. You know, Jesus is on his way coming back. And barring the rapture, there are going to be many things that happen, but we have to realize that we have to prepare the people for the soon coming King, which is Jesus Christ. And also, Dr. Youngblood, be ready, be ye ever so ready, as the scripture said, because the rapture can happen at any time. So when we look at the example of John the Baptist, as she said before, he said, "O you generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth fruits meet for repentance." He didn't let anything stop him from getting the word out there. And I would say that's the same thing we need to do, Dr. Youngblood.
Absolutely. And to go back to, quickly, Dr. Davis, you go back to Acts chapter 25, 26, and you'll find the Apostle Paul confronting Felix because he was married to his having a relationship with his brother's wife. And the Apostle Paul challenged it openly and publicly. That is the way Christians ought to stand. Thank you so much, Amen. Dr. Davis. Have a blessed day today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have about 1 minute top of the hour news. Be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Special Counsel John Durham, the man who exposed the FBI's Crossfire Hurricane investigation, is testifying this morning before the House Judiciary Committee. The panel's chair, Republican Jim Jordan, says Durham's findings are troubling, to say the least, and vows that the findings will produce action from Republicans. It was the Crossfire Hurricane investigation that spawned the Russia collusion hoax. More than a week after it collapsed, Pennsylvania's Governor Josh Shapiro says reopening of a stretch of Interstate 95 in Philadelphia is imminent. He says traffic will again be flowing on that stretch of highway this coming weekend. On Wall Street this morning, stocks are trading lower as the Fed chair testifies on Capitol Hill. Right now, the Dow is down 83 points, the Nasdaq off 125 points. More details at srnnews.com.
First Conservative Baptist Church invites you to join them for their Independence Day celebration. The Mark V Quartet will be in concert with great singing.
Jesus Christ the Lord, open up.
Service starts at 10 a.m., barbecue lunch at 12:30. There's no ticket charge. A love offering will be taken July 2nd at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a news article from the American Family Association, Tim Wildman. And the title of the article says, Cracker Barrel Goes Woke. Don't know if you've heard this. Let me read some couple of paragraphs. Historically known for the antique decor, Southern country themed menu, and affordable prices, Cracker Barrel Old Country Store has traded its once family-friendly charm for the promotion of and celebration of the LGBTQ Pride Month. On June 8th, Cracker Barrel posted on its Facebook page, "We're excited to celebrate Pride Month with our employees and all of our guests. Everyone is always welcome at our table and our rockers. Happy Pride Month." Included with the post was a photo of a rainbow-colored rocking chair in front of one of its stores. The backlash by conservative families was quick and firm. Listen to this. The Texas Family Project called on supporters to boycott Cracker Barrel. Starting at once, family-friendly establishment has caved to the mob, end quote. Texas Representative Dr. Ronnie Jackson, most of you know that name. Dr. Ronnie Jackson was President Trump's personal physician as president. This article says Texas Representative Dr. Ronnie Jackson also joined on the protest, tweeting, "Bye-bye, Cracker Barrel. I will never, ever eat there again." The article further states, "Some customers have remarked that the quality of its food and service has taken a back seat." Customer Matt H. posted on the Facebook page, quote, "I will never be back to Cracker Barrel. Their food was starting to get bad anyway. Not what it used to be. Sorry, Cracker Barrel, you won't be getting any more money from me," end quote. Further, this article states, "Cracker Barrel needs to hear from you, especially if you were a regular customer." So, ladies and gentlemen, for those that may not have known it, Cracker Barrel has gone woke. They have bowed to the Rainbow Mafia. They have bowed to the secularist world. Just a year or so ago, Cracker Barrel started serving alcoholic beverages, which made it, in my mind, a non-family-friendly environment anyway. But now they have bowed to the Rainbow Mafia, where they're simply going to celebrate the sodomite agenda with the idea that somehow, some way, they've got to do that in order to continue to reap the benefits of the numbers that they're seeking. But ladies and gentlemen, my question to you, should we boycott Cracker Barrel? I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Do you eat at Cracker Barrel? Are you going to continue to eat at Cracker Barrel? Do you believe that it would be honorable for us to have a verbal, visible stand by simply refusing to eat at Cracker Barrel? I want to hear your vote. I want to hear your thoughts on what you believe should be done in that realm. I'm looking at a headline, "Pride is still a sin and the rainbow still belongs to God." We're now into the Pride Month, and everywhere we look, we're assaulted by rainbows and decorations of pride in homosexuality and various and sundry perversions. My inbox is full of press releases from woke companies and corporations and organizations signaling their virtue for the month of June. And my Facebook feed is full of them as well. In a sense, it's a good thing, because now I know which companies do not support values and encourage human flourishing, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, now that we know what Cracker Barrel stands for, now that we know that they have said they don't care about the moral, ethical Christian community, and now that we know that they are flaunting their fist and their thumb in the face of the Christian, how do you respond? What is your vote like? Do you think that we still need to shop at Cracker Barrel? This article goes on to say, why is it homosexuality alone singled out by the most vaunted branch of the U.S. military, and why are they focused on the woke left-wing virtue signaling that should be spending all of their time figuring out how to defeat our enemies, but they're trying to figure out how to bow to the woke community? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I could go for the balance of the day on covering those woke companies, corporations, that have bowed to the sodomite agenda. How do you feel about Cracker Barrel? We already know that Disney has bowed. In fact, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Disney is a recruiting headquarters for the sexualization and the promulgation of the perverts and the pedophiles to prey on our sons and daughters and grandkids. I've said for years and years and years, stay away from Disney. Boycott Disney. Don't buy anything that says Disney on it. Don't get the little toys and the videos, etc., for your kids. Every one of those videos, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, they have embedded in those videos the sodomite agenda, with very subtle pushing of our kids, our younger kids, to recognize and embrace the sodomite lifestyle. No to Disney. No to Disney. Boycott Disney. Also, no to Walmart. I don't know if you're aware of the fact that Walmart has major displays in their stores displaying the sodomite agenda for the Rainbow Mafia Month, as I'm calling it. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, what is taking place and say, no, no, no. Target stores, another one. Coal, another one. Now Cracker Barrel added to that list. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to recognize what is taking place and say no. I believe Daniel is on the line. Go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, God bless, sir.
Thank you.
Being a Christian and a hardworking father and husband, it is becoming more and more challenging to find somewhere to spend our money. But I do believe, as you, sir, boycott these companies. You know, put our Christian values where our wallet is, mm-hmm. and stop. Mm-hmm. It's the more that I say this, I've tried to talk to other, friends and family members, and for some reason, the message just isn't getting across. Oh, we need to purchase this. We need this item. We need this good. That's somewhat understandable because there are only so many retailers to pick some of these things up with when you need a diaper, when you need whatever it may be. Thankfully, my kids are older and out of college, and I struggle with even the kids, trying to get them to keep their head where it's supposed to be and keep their heart where it's supposed to be. It's going to become much more of a challenge, Dr. Youngblood, and really don't know the best way to go forward and where to put your dollars, because everyone seems to be going. And then now, you've got Cracker Barrel and Chick-fil-A now from what I'm hearing. So what's the end goal? What do we really do? Where are we able to put our money? And, how do you get the products that you need?
Daniel had some good questions, and maybe others would have some comments on it. You're exactly right, though. It's getting more and more difficult to say, we're not going in that store anymore, when sometimes that's the only place you can buy the item. So what I have done with a qualified statement on that, Ram, if it is something that must be gotten, must be bought, and there's no way around it, and that's the only place to find it, spend that $2 there and nothing more. Spend that $1 there and nothing more. Spend that $10 there and nothing more. And it let the Walmart, Kohl's, Disney, now Cracker Barrel, and Target's. Let these stores. Target's already lost about $15 billion in market shares. Bud Light, which I do not recommend at all, but it's a good prima facie evidence example of what happens. Bud Light's lost about $35 billion in market share as a result of their thumbing their nose in the face of the public. And I believe we need to do the same thing to these other institutions, because the only thing they understand, Daniel, is the bottom line, the dollars and cents. And if we can effectuate a change in their dollars and cents, the bottom line, it might mean going back to mom and pop stores that are local citizens than the big box stores. I've considered that, and I believe that that's one of the things that we need to recognize, maybe a potentiality. But you're exactly right. In the days to come, it's going to get greater and greater, will have greater and greater difficulties, because more and more the Christians, the conservatives, the patriots are being put into a box and squeezed out of society, squeezed out of the marketplace of ideas, and we're being cast aside as second-class citizens because of our moral, ethical, biblical, Christian stands. And so it requires every child of God to pray and seek God's face and ask God to intervene and heal our land before it's too late. Daniel, thank you so much.
Prayers work.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. God bless you. Thank you for your call. I believe we have Raymond on the line. Raymond, go over the question or comment, please.
Well, good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. It's Raymond Johnson. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks for your program. You've been so faithful for so long now, so we appreciate it. But
amen.
I was
thank
calling.
You.
Yes, sir. I was calling because I just, happened to be taking a little time off here and was able to listen, and I heard what you were saying. And when I heard you mention Cracker Barrel, I had to call in. And I was going to discuss that. But I do want to say that, the previous caller you just talked to there, he's absolutely right. Unfortunately, it is getting very difficult because we're just in the end time, and it just seems like literally everything in public, all corporations, banks, stores, grocery stores, you name it, they're all bowing their knee to the LGBT mafia. And but at the same time, we still need to try to do our best to, voice our concern and go elsewhere. I know it's difficult, when you're busy and you're out working, during the day or whatever. I mean, you know, fast food places, it's you know, Burger King did it a few years ago. All these big places support the LGBT mafia. However, for me in my house, I'm going to do my best, particularly at least the rest of this year and as much as possible, to avoid those places. This year, it was Cracker Barrel and Chick-fil-A, which Chick-fil-A, I don't go to a lot anyway. It's nice. It's kind of expensive, but there's not a lot of them around, so not on every corner. But Cracker Barrel, hey, I happen to live just a few miles down the road from a Cracker Barrel, and that was the family place to go for the last 10 or 20 years. But I won't be going there on purpose, you know. Now, unfortunately, we are, as somebody else mentioned too, we're having a hard time. Those of us that know and understand the spiritual and cultural battle, I'm finding the average Christian brother, the average church member and friend, you know, your church family, they don't care. They just don't care. They've given up, and it's a sad state, but that's where we're at. But I would encourage your listeners to keep doing, do the best you can. Don't go, you know, I'm not going to say that I'm never, ever going to go to Cracker Barrel, but I'm going to do my best not to, if I can avoid it, you know?
Yes. That's my position, Raymond, and I believe that ought to be the mindset. One of the things you touched on, kind of perked a thought in my mind. You said so many Christians, average Christian, et cetera, doesn't care. They don't think. I'll basically broaden your statement. They're not interested, if I would use my terms, in things of this nature. One of the problems that I think that we see, we have many, many. Goes back to the Matthew 7 text. In that day, many will say, Lord, Lord, have I not done great works? Have I not done prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name? But Jesus says in the next verse, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. We got a lot of folks today, and I say this very, very loving, but very direct. We got a lot of people today that have their names on church rolls that have never been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. They're simply denominational members. They're Christians in name only. And as a result of that, they simply look at it that I'm not going to be inconvenienced. I'll go where I want to go, spend my money as I want to spend it, et cetera, with total disregard for biblical truth, ethics, morals, values that God holds us responsible for. And so I'm concerned about from that standpoint. This is the reason we find it today, a great falling away, the apostasy that's taking place. I believe we're watching the winnowing out of the wheat from the chaff in the society in which we're living today. So those that are truly blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, I believe they hear what we're saying. I believe they understand what we're saying. And I believe there's a mindset that I want to obey God rather than man. When Peter and others were told that you cannot get on the street, you can't be a street preacher anymore, Peter. And Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. And that's our position. I believe we need to obey God's word rather than what the world says. In fact, multitudes today do not recognize the danger that our nation's in. And Raymond, I know that you're familiar with it. Psalms 11, verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Watching the foundations, the very foundation of our nation, being destroyed, and it's because of what is happening today. And the woke society is not the only thing. It is, generally speaking, where we have from the White House down, where there's a push for the mutilation of boys and girls with what is called the transgender surgeries, where there's the butchering. That is antithetical to anything that's called biblical truth. And yet you find very few Christians, pastors, and Christians in general that will stand up against that and say, that's wrong, that's immoral, that's unholy, that's ungodly. We need to take a stand on these things. If we don't stand now, there'll be no opportunity to stand in the future, Raymond. But Raymond, brother, I'm thankful for you. Appreciate your ministry, Biblical Concepts Ministry. So keep on serving the Lord and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. God bless you, Raymond.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. I believe we have Greg on the line. Greg, go over the question or comment, please.
You know, as we view this push that's taking place, and the push is coming from so many different sides, from your BlackRock investments to your White House to DOJ, FBI, Democratic Party, the voting in state by state by state, the school boards, this LGBTQIAP plus minus divided by agenda, one thing after another, they've gone, if you will, whole hog. They've gone scorched earth. They've gone anything goes right now. Understand, this push is what we're what we see biblically as birth pangs, I believe, and it's national, it's international. We see it up close and personal here in this country, but the assault on morality, the assault on the church, the assault on all things decent. This administration and this generation believe that if they push hard enough now, they will have full authoritarian, dictatorial, fascistic control. And, you know, in their minds, that's their agenda. It's the power element and the money element. But biblically, it's the birth pangs that are getting closer and closer together and more intense. We see the intensity, and many times we go, that's political. You know, that's just, you know, that's indecent. That's, you know, that's scorched earth. That's it. But biblically, spiritually, from a Christian perspective, we just need to realize this is what we're going to see. And we ought to stand firm, you know, having done all to stand. We ought to do that. But we need to also realize as believers, if this is as we believe, if this is the last of the last days, it ain't going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. And a believer should stand fast, continue to share the truth in love.
Absolutely. And Greg, you touched on a statement. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of our four sons, Greg Youngblood. It's always a delight to have Greg take time out of a urgently busy schedule and join us on the broadcast today. But Greg, when you say make those statements, what comes to my mind is that I'm looking at an article that says, "Abominable hirelings mock God." And then the writer gives the scripture in Galatians 6, 7, and 8, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap to the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." I believe we have failed to see in our churches and in spirituality and Christianity, we have failed to see the truth of God's Word, that we're now reaping what we've been sowing as a nation for many, 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 many years now. What do you say to that thought?
It's true. We had a generation, go back just a few decades, and you had preachers that yanked out of context, that come out from among them and be ye separate. They figured believers ought not have anything to do with public schools, shouldn't have anything to do with running for public office, shouldn't have anything to do with supporting candidates for public office, and right on down the line. You know, that's not what we find biblically, because it's hard to be salt and light without coming in contact with the world around us. I mean, that if it's just, you know, live a Christian life, well, find a hillside somewhere, live up on a mountaintop all by yourself and don't ever come down. But then you're mm-hmm. of absolute no value, no worth to God in this world. He needs to just take you home. The reality is being salt and light requires us coming in contact and trying to preserve, trying to restore, trying to share Christ, because at the end of the day, they'll not change from the outside in, but from the inside out. And from a Christian perspective, you know, it's share the truth. You share the truth of love, sharing what's right biblically, and also sharing the truth of Jesus Christ, because again, they'll only change from the inside out. You can't force a person to act like a believer, but if they're a believer genuinely, they will be changed. The scripture says that all things will become new.
Greg, one of the things you touched on, you said, share the truth in love. I want you to examine that verbally for us for a moment. There are many that will say that if you say something about the Sodomite community, if you stand against some of those that are making wrong decisions and confront them, that that's not love. Is it hate? Is it love? Should Christians confront evil and wicked in society and what's taking place in the civil government, or should we just be silent? Would silence connote love? Is that
not
the way Jesus handled it? Is that the way God would have us to do it? Speak to that.
I would like for everyone to go today, if you have 5 minutes, go to YouTube, click on Penn Jillette, you know, Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette, The Gift of a Bible. Now, the man's an atheist, all right? But the man's own words are, how much do you have to hate someone not to share? As a Christian, He says, if you believe you have the keys to eternal life, how much do you have to hate somebody not to share that? And from the aspect of sharing the truth, if you don't warn somebody, if you know that hell is real and there's an eternity to either gain or lose, to gain that eternity with Jesus Christ or have that eternal separation, you know that biblically, and you don't share that with somebody, is that love? If you don't warn them that this sinful course, the scripture says that the whole list is made of sins, that these things will never enter heaven. These things will never enter heaven. So to not warn someone, let them know that, guess what? This is not a lifestyle that ends in heaven. And it's only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ that we're not all condemned. Just sharing that in love. You know, sometimes you can pull the Westboro Baptist thing, and guess what? A lot of what they say, technically is right out of the scripture, but is it in love? Do you let a person know that, hey, sin, whatever that sin may be, it ain't going to make it to glory. If you're under the shed blood of Jesus Christ and you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit, he's going to change you from the inside out, and you can spend an eternity with him. That's the message. That's the message. But coming to the knowledge of the fact that we're all sinners, that comes first. If you don't realize you're a sinner, you have no need for a Savior. There's no need for repentance if you don't realize that there's sin in your life. But the scripture says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Greg, I'm looking at an article. I want to touch on a few things and then let you wrap up our thoughts today. It says, "Onward, Christian soldiers." It's dated June 20th, 2023. America's going to Hades in a handbasket. A large portion of Americans agree we're headed in the wrong direction. But when Christians try to get more involved in the culture and in politics, they're often told to cease and desist, sometimes even by fellow professing Christians. In fact, if a pastor were to preach today's moral issues, he might be accused of preaching politics. Dr. D. James Kennedy once observed that in recent times, abortion has come to be viewed as a political issue. So if a minister speaks on abortion, he's accused of preaching politics. But he noted the Church of Jesus Christ has from the beginning been opposed to abortion and has provided loving alternatives through the centuries. John Stemberger, here's where I wanted to go. John Stemberger of the Florida Family Policy Council says, quote, "Everything has been political. The weather is political. COVID is political. There's no area of life that has not been politicized in some way, and the church has been trained wrongly in that area." He explains, that is, Stenberger explains, "The scripture speaks to all areas of life. Now, admittedly, it speaks to some areas more clearly and prophetically than to others. And where it speaks so clearly, pastors need to be equally clear about life, about nature of marriage, about human sexuality, about gender, and all these things that are up for grabs. It's not politics. It's ministry. It's teaching the Bible. It's what pastors should be doing," end quote. I don't think I could have said it more eloquently and more directly. So with that being said, Greg, take a minute. Challenge our listeners, Christians and Christian pastors, if they're tuned in, of what we need to do of standing for truth, and then a challenge for turning back to God.
Well, I'll tell you, John Stenberger hit the nail firmly on the head. The reality is that leftists in America today would like to drag everything moral and decent through the mud and then drag it into the political arena and then say, because it's political, thus, you cannot speak on this subject, you churches, you pastors. You know, you're going to lose your tax-exempt status. What a perversion. What a twist. You know, all of these things, everything that you face in life, is addressed in Scripture in one way or another. God had something to say on the matter. And we as believers ought to heed the example, the admonition that we not forget what the Lord's done for us. And you go through Psalm 78, 1 through 7, about midway through, you'll find that we're to tell the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he's done. Essentially, we want to make sure generation by generation that they do not forget God's claims on their life. You can't kick God out of a culture and expect to be blessed by that same God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Greg, thank you for joining us today, taking your time to do so. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester.